Heavenly Father, we lift up your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to know. We want to be guided by the light of your word and how to walk and how to live in these days, these dark days, Lord, of deceit and wickedness and, Lord, the world. We know coming together, desiring and being foolish in so many ways. Lord, we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be deceived. Jesus, you warned us before you left that there would be false prophets, deceivers. Paul warned us. Peter warned us. And so, Lord, we want to walk in the light of your word. We want to be wise men and women in these days. So speak to our hearts. I pray that, Lord, that it would flush out anything in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that are not pleasing, that don't, Lord, match up with your law and your word. We just, we don't want it to be a part of our lives. So by your Spirit, would you minister to us, fill us to overflowing, Lord, that our lives would be testimonies of the living water that this world so desperately thirsts for. We just thank you and praise you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. Jesus, shine upon this place. Join us here, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. So the Proverbs, the key to Proverbs is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What we have been seeing is knowledge in and of itself is not enough. There's plenty of very smart people in this world that aren't very wise. We haven't come to that point where the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so, and much of the world is living today as if there is no God. We have AI now, and that is going to become the God for many people. And we know that technology has become a religion. Science has become a religion. And so many people are seeking the ways of man instead of the wisdom of God. And it's just foolishness. And so you have contrasts of wise, those who are wise, those who are fools. You have contrasts between those who are diligent and diligently seeking the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the sluggard. We're going to see the immoral woman and the warnings against the immoral woman. What does, how are moral men and women to live in the culture back then wasn't much different than the culture today. It was certainly not as openly practiced or lived out in the culture of the ancient Hebrews, the children of Israel during David's time. Certainly during Solomon's time, I'm sure a lot of things started to slide after he decided that he needed 700 wives and 300 concubines. And interestingly, that was very unwise because God had told David not to increase his wives or his horses, which is the very thing that Solomon ended up doing. And it was a common practice that if you wanted peace with another kingdom, that a king would marry the princess or the daughter of the king of that kingdom. Well, God had brought peace already to the children of Israel through David. They were at peace with all the surrounding nations. All of them had been subdued. So what Solomon was doing doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they already had peace. And people were coming from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And we're told he had over 3,000 proverbs. Not all of them are recorded here. We know that I think it's chapter 30 that was recorded by the scribes of Hezekiah, the Proverbs of Solomon. And so, and then we're going to have a couple of names that allude to that are whether it's a pet name of Bathsheba for her son or just name, nicknames for Solomon, but these are all written by Solomon. And so verse 20, we pick up, it says, "My son, Give it, and it works both ways. Obviously, Solomon writing to his son, knowing what had happened to his father, because Solomon's mother was the one who David, you know, basically failed morally with, and slept with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and everything else. So he's trying to impart wisdom to his children, and he will say, to my children, but we see, to my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. And we know that we're children of the light, we're to allow the light of God's word to shine in. You know, we're going to see, it talks about the eyes, the mouth, the lips, the feet, the ears, all of the avenues, you know, certainly of how worldliness can enter in, and how we can get ourselves in trouble, and how we're to protect and to guard those things. But incline your ear to my sayings. You know, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little feet, where you walk. You know, all these ideas, it really is a simplification of the wisdom of the Word of God, the wisdom of Solomon that we're going to see here. And keep that in mind, because he will address it time after time after time. We're to be wise about what we look at. We're to be wise about what we listen to. We're to be wise about where we are walking, where we go, where we should go, where we shouldn't go. We're going to see where our lives are supposed to be a straight path, and we're to plan, you know, in our hearts. We're to, you know, we're going to see the plan of the wicked runs to evil and all those other things. But for those who walk in the fear of the Lord, a Christian man and a Christian woman, our plans are to be set to walk in a straightforward in an upright manner. Holiness is the goal of the scripture that God's called his children to. That's not legalism. It's freedom. It's freedom. We're going to see it's health, it's everything else that God promises, because ultimately it's an eternal goal. It's an eternal plan that we are to make for our lives and for our walk and where we go, what we see, what we touch. We need to be careful. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. They're life. Wisdom, God's word, words of wisdom, the word of God, the Bible, is life. It's life. It's not a bummer. God's not a cosmic bummer. He's not a jipper. He's not trying to take anything away from you. You know, he does. It's not that he doesn't want you to have any fun. So you hear all this ridiculousness coming out of the church today. It's not legalism. That's wisdom. And it's life. The life that he desires for us, real life. And so he says, and health to all their flesh. And you know, they've done studies that people who pray, people who attend church, they suggest have greater longevity, greater peace, right? And that understanding, obviously we know that we're not saved by going to church or by praying, but those are certainly very wise activities for the believer, right? But we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. It's all about faith. And faith, as is defined and determined by God, there is one faith. We've talked about that, and that is faith in the one whom God sent. That is Jesus Christ. That is the only way. But that is life and health. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful or devious mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. in Mark chapter 14, Jesus, it says, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him." Bacon. It's okay. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? It does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart," and we've talked about the heart, it's the bowels. The word for heart means the innermost part, the seat of desire. And that's what Jesus is talking about. What comes out of our mouths and our actions and everything else come from the heart, and they expose the truth about what's in us, our heart of desire, our seat of desire. I mean, Solomon had a lot to talk about double entendre and how we speak. And you know, people, the way there are people that we all know that in their body language, in how they say and twist words, that it exposes that they have somewhat of a perverse heart. It's a warning to myself: be careful, because your mouth will betray you. It will betray you ultimately. And so Jesus said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles him. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." And so Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But also, they can trap the issues that lead, those things that lead to death and decay. You know, there's moral decay can happen within our hearts, even for the believer. If you're not careful about what your eyes are looking at, what your ears are hearing, what your hands are touching, and where your feet are walking. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, perverse lips. Let your eyes, verse 25, look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Guide, and it's the word of God and wisdom will guide your mouth, guide your feet, guide, right, your hands and your eyes. That's what it's talking about. It is guidance. It is, and the more you read it and understand it, obviously we've talked about that. That's knowledge, but wisdom is knowledge applied. You know, the scripture says, blessed are those who hear, and blessed are those who read, but it doesn't stop there. And blessed are those who do, Jesus said, these sayings of mine. Blessed are those who do them. Put them into action, put them into practice. And so it says, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your feet from evil. Don't get distracted along the way. You know, a lot being said about ADD, ADHD. I have AD everything from A to ZD. I mean, it certainly was something that I had. Well, here's an example. I was easily distracted as a kid, or I easily distracted others, I guess would probably be. And so in sixth grade, I had my own little special cubicle in the back of the class that had a wall on my right side and a wood wall on my left side, and all I could do was look straight ahead. But that was wise of my teacher, but certainly gave understanding, you know, gave me understanding. It's if without concentrating, without being diligent about what's important, keeping, you know, my focus and our focus on the things that are important and the things that matter, the things, you know, of that the Word of God talks about. And to a sense, so in my mind, it's, you know, put a wood wall, Bill, get yourself in a cubicle. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren and sistern, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Set your mind on these things. That's really what Solomon is trying to get our focus on, and certainly righteousness. We know that the Lord loves righteousness and he hates wickedness. He loves right. He loves when we are walking in rightness with him, you know. So chapter 5, my son, my daughter, pay attention to my wisdom, because this is going to be true both for sons and daughters, for men and women. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear, or bow your ear to my understanding. Lean in. You know, bow, that idea. Lean in to listen. That you may preserve discretion, that is the good way. We talked about discretion. It talks about the good way, the right plan for your life, the right path for your life. That's what discretion is talking about. Discretion in our culture today and amongst this generation that's coming up, there's a lack of discretion. And sadly, for the generation above them, there's a lack of discernment of what is right and what is wrong. And I think for our generation, my generation, what we are losing is we're losing the will to stand up and say and say what, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. It's slowly fading. If you can't beat them, join them. Or don't say anything about it, right? We don't want anything to disturb or disrupt our peaceful lives. But that's not what we're called to. But to have, you know, his word preserves, protects, guards the right way to live, the right path, and keeps you on the right path. And your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Flattery. You know, what is the saying? Flattery will get you nowhere. Flattery gets people everywhere today. And flattery is, you know, I talked about it on Sunday morning. The best way to guard against this, especially for, and certainly he's talking to his sons and daughters who, in addressing sexual promiscuity, we've talked about how that was given for the marriage relationship, and how sexual promiscuity at an early age, you know, is out of order. And you know, there's studies of children, people, or those of the of child age, you know, under 12, that have been have seen like pornography and those things. How it can take a hold of their lives. It can disrupt their life and an understanding of what a proper relationship is down the road. You know, this lie that, well, we need to live together to see if if it works, right? If we're compatible. Well, here's the problem. The guy, once he has the sexual, the intimacy, he checks out on the most important part, and that is the building of the relationship. You understand that, right? And what they know is that's a lie, because you are more likely to get a divorce if you start your relationship out with that intimacy and with that belief that, oh, we've lived together and we discovered we're compatible, and then come to find out that they're not, because it rings true, because the male, the way that we think we're visual and sensory in that way, that the relationship basically stops growing. And so they get into it, they get married, and that relationship doesn't advance, it doesn't go on. So, but the lips of the immoral woman drip honey. Oh, you're so strong. You're so handsome. And if they tell us we're not fat, it works. We have to be careful. You don't look fat in that, honey. So, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. You do not know them. If that's how you start out, you won't spend the time getting to know that person. The immoral woman, or the strange woman, the stranger, which originally was a definition of the Gentile woman, the same thing that the children of Israel ran into, remember, with Balaam and Balak. Balaam couldn't pronounce a curse. Every time he tried to pronounce a curse, God changed it to a blessing, and so he finally said, Balak, because Balaam wanted the money, and he wasn't going to get the money unless he was able to do something to get God angry with the children of Israel. And so he told Balak, hey, look, just send your Moabite women down there. They will certainly, when they see them, right? We're visual. And the guys saw that they were pretty, and they started laying with the Moabite women, and God got angry. And that's, the same thing can happen. So the idea of the strange woman, that's what they fell into. Sadly, prostitution, harlotry, strange women were not known amongst the children of Israel, because that was punishable by death. And so there was no prostitution to a great extent until they got into idolatry and, worshiping of like Ashtart and the sensual goddesses and all of those things. And then it crept in. And so Solomon warns, hey, be careful about the, and same for women, be careful. Guys, and all of our lines are dumb. But some, for some reason they work. Right? Because you got to be careful with what you see and what you hear. You got to protect your ears and your eyes just like we do. Because you may fall for it, you may fall into it. One thing, fathers, I'm just going to say this. This is, and I'm going to share how I dealt with and raised my children. To my son, son. And it kind of came in, as he was testing out his princedom in our house, and kind of talked back to his mother, and I may or may not have my left hand, I don't know, because I think my left hand just moved without my brain telling it to the back of his head at the dinner table, and I said, "Don't you ever talk to your mother like that. You can try it with me. We'll go have a father son discussion. You don't talk to your mother like that." And then a little bit later, some friends of his were harassing Hannah at school, and on a Wednesday, while I was trying to prepare for the message, I got a phone call. You know, "Dad, can you tell PJ to tell his friends?" You know, and they're saying stuff about Hannah. So, long story short, I told him, "You call me now." I said, "You and I are going to have a talk when I get home." And so I got home after service. As he's going up the stairs, he goes, "Hannah, Mom, and I sat down. We already talked about it." And he ran up to his room in high school. And I said, "Well, it's not over, son." And so I told him down. I said, "You have two responsibilities in this family as the prince of the family. Get good grades. Be good at, you know what? Put your nose to the grindstone in school, and you protect the women of this home. Because when I'm missing, you're to protect them. You don't ever expose them to anything. Because one thing that I took seriously is my daughter's purity is my responsibility, and her safety is my responsibility." You know, sad. All right. I'm going to protect my lips and my mouth, but I cannot believe what fathers allow. Once they become adults, and I'm not talking about once they become adults, obviously we want to influence before they become adults, but I've been on high school campuses, and I just, you know, unsundry things that I want to do to some parents, some fathers. But anyway, so we had the discussion. I told PJ, I said, "This is the conversation you need to have with those friends of yours." I said, "If they continue, if I get a phone call from Hannah or even a whisper that they're saying anything about her or harassing her, they and their fathers will be sitting down with me and we'll be having a discussion." So that next night at dinner, I asked, "Did you have that conversation with your friends?" And Hannah started busting up laughing. And I said, "Man," and PJ was kind of laughing. He goes, "Yeah, I had the." I said, "Why are you laughing, Hannah?" He goes, "They wouldn't even look at me today." And PJ said, "Yeah, they all said, we're afraid of your dad. We don't want to have a..." So, but, you know, just, we need to protect, especially in this culture that we live in today, man. We're sending our kids out to the slaughter if we're not paying attention to everything that's going on. And so, you know, we need to teach our sons respect for female, for you know, mom, and then also for all females. You know, don't be an idiot, and basically is my message to him. And with Hannah, just that she's protected. So, because there are smooth talkers out there, and it's just a fleshly world we live in today. Everything, billboards, everything is the flesh. So they're selling sex, period, for everything, you know. "Therefore, hear me now, my children." And so he's talking about all this. "Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house." Was it James that said, it's not basically not the first thought that's sin, but when it takes hold, the second time you look or you act upon, you know, what you've seen or what you heard. So don't even go, you know, don't go near the door of her house. Don't start walking. Don't even head that direction, lest you give your honor, your vigor. And it's talking about yourself, your innocence to others, and your ears to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, with your strength, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. A lot of money being spent on sex and sexual immorality today. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. The reality is there were sexually transmitted diseases back then, just like there are now. Probably the most prominent one was syphilis. Very likely, which they had no cure for. And so they would watch these Gentile pagan nations with people that just degraded physically but mentally went crazy, because that's what syphilis does. Ultimately, they just lose their mind. And they were to be careful of those things. You mourn at last when your flesh and body are consumed, and say, how I hated instruction and my heart despised correction. Simply, I should have listened. I should have listened to every word. I should have listened to my dad. Any of you ever look back? I think our dads, for the most part, and I know that there are exceptions, tried to impart wisdom. I've had the been there, done that discussion with both my son and my daughter. Nothing good will come of it. That they don't have to look back and say, oh boy, I should have listened. Should have listened to my father. And I think as parents, we always wait for that phone call, you know. I just pray that I never get that phone call, that they messed up like I have. But I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined. And I'm today, thank God, if your child doesn't obey the voice of their teachers, if they're in public school, that's okay. Be involved in what they're being taught and what they're being told, you know. And I did, that's what Beth and I did with Hannah and PJ, and there were some things that they were being told, or they were being told they had to participate and everything else. I said, no, you don't. And if you don't want to, when those things come up, just let me know and I'll write the letter. You'll be out of it. And if they say that I'll be at the school in person to take you. So, eighth, ninth grade, my French teacher, and then she was my English teacher in 10th grade. Now I can't remember her name. Terrible. My mind, such a precious thing to waste. But she was a great influence in my life, and we probably all had those teachers, right? We can look back. It was on the verge of total, I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. And know this, sexual immorality, pornography, it's an opiate. You can become addicted to it. We have a lot of people that are becoming addicted to it, that are spending a lot of money of it. You know, gambling, you talk about gambling and gambling addiction. There's probably more money spent on pornography than there is gambling in the United States these days. Verge of total ruin. It has ruined ministries. I can't tell you how many pastors have fallen in the time, 17 years that I've been in ministry. Not just Calvary Chapel pastors, but prominent pastors all over the nation. Because they have not protected their eyes and their ears. Drink water from your own cistern. I love that. And running water from your own well. Drink water, be refreshed by your own wives and your own husbands. And here's a lie that we tell ourselves. Well, she doesn't fulfill me, or he doesn't fulfill me. And your eyes are on the wrong thing, because you're to be fulfilled by your Lord, your walk with your Lord and Savior, by the living word and by the word of God, and it's to direct you and direct your path and your plan for life and everything else. And that will direct how you cohabitate and how you relate to your mate. That's the proper, and so we look on the horizontal and aren't satisfied with the horizontal, and then we go, Lord, what have you, just like, it's no different. Adam, why are you hiding? Well, you know that woman, you gave me. Told me to eat from the, and then Eve, what? The snake lied to me and passed the buck, and instead of having the proper perspective, we're to be fulfilled in our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that is to pour into our relationship with our husband or our wife. That's the way it's supposed to work. And if it's not working in your relationship, or you're having these feelings, you need to get your heart right and your eyes in the right thing. It'll change your perspective. It'll change everything. And it's not something that it's something that we all probably go through our mind and goes through our minds and that we have to struggle with and deal with. But it's just a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. If you're being satisfied by Him, you're going to be satisfied by the cistern, by the fresh water that in your home, in your relationship with your spouse. That's the truth, and it's simple. It's not that easy. Yes, it is. It is. We tell ourselves it's not that easy. It is that easy. Get your heart right with Him. Your heart will be right at home. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Think about our society, how many illegitimate children there are in our society today. Fatherless, single family, single parent. I'll say it's not a, but the absence of fathers. You listen to these NFL guys, man. There are guys in the NFL, the NBA, that have, Miggy has how many children with how many different women? That's robbing those children of a sound, stable home. Should not be heard of in the church. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. And if it didn't work the first time and you're in another, make that your commitment. If it's your second, make it your commitment. God forgives. God forgives those situations. I've talked to all kinds of people that have tried to hang on to their marriage. The other person didn't want to be in it. Look, Paul is very clear. If the unbelieving spouse does not want to continue, the believing spouse is under no obligation to make them stay. So there are truths to relationships and dissolution of relationships that you need to accept and that God understands. God knows us. So there's no condemnation. There shouldn't be any condemnation of those things. But the relationship you're in now, you make that commitment in your relationship, the husband or the wife. This is it. This is the husband or wife of the now of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be intoxicated with her love. Look, it's God-given. The sexual relationship, intimacy, the two becoming one, that's God-given. Enjoy it. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Don't be a slave to it. Don't be a slave to sin. If you're caught up in those things, there are guys here that have been through it. There are guys that have been slaves to other things that can help you out. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. It can become an addiction. Stop now. You're going to get caught up in the cord. You're going to get tangled up in it. And it may drain you financially. It may ruin your relationship relationally. And it will certainly do that. In the old days, somebody got caught in adultery, they'd probably lose their jobs. Now it's almost celebrated. Oh, we understand. But my son, chapter 6, verse 1, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, that the idea is strike the hand. Back then, even in the Middle East now, they'll strike the hand, not just necessarily shake, slap the hand. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth, because many, you know, and I think, is it still a law in the United States that you can enter into a contract, verbal contract? That's even dumber now, because everybody's so deceitful. That's what it's talking about. Be careful what you enter into. Be careful who you enter into an agreement with. More relation, a lot of friendships and relationships have been destroyed through pledging oneself to the other, whether it be in business or supporting them, you know, somebody financially. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Be careful who you invest in or who you go into business with. Be careful. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. I know that in the mortgage industry there's a 3-day right of rescission, so you have 3 days to, you know, they should probably have that with every contract. You have three days that, oh man, this was a mistake, and you can go back and put an end to it. Do they have that in other industries? Does anybody know? I'm not sure. Yeah, so make sure that there's a 3-day right of rescission. You can change your mind before it's ratified. That'd be wise. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And I love Solomon. You know, he had his zoo, and he was, you know, he had the arboretum and everything else. He studied a lot of things, and he goes to the ant, and one of the smallest, you know, one of the smallest things on earth, but probably the most, probably the strongest and most industrious of God's creation. And he recognized that. How many of you had ant farms? I had an ant farm. When I was, and just watching them, you know, it's mesmerizing. They're constant motion. They're constantly doing something, constantly working. How many of you were told not to shake it because they can't handle earthquakes and they end die? So one honest person here along with me. Terrible. But the ant, they have no captain, overseer, or ruler. It provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. You know, you need to be diligent in your work. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, a twisted mouth. They don't speak straight. We've talked about perverseness, perversity, perversion. And certainly what they can call morality today in our culture is perversion. It's not natural, whether it does, it's not morally, it doesn't morally match up with God's word and God's purpose in creation. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. You know those people that dance around everything. They'll never answer anything straight. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. This causes trouble wherever he goes. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly, when suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Six things. An interesting seven, completeness. And we know that, as I had said before, God loves righteousness. He hates wickedness. But there are many places in the scriptures where it talks about the things that God hates. And two, we're to love righteousness and hate sin, hate sinful behavior. It's part of wisdom. God hates idolatry, Scripture says. God hates divorce, Scripture says. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Twice during the church age, there's one thing during the church age that God specifically points out that he hates, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is those who lord over the church, who lord over the laity. I'm just going to say this. God hates the priestly order that man has set up over the church. That is not Scripture. God, and there's leaders in the church. You know, it talks about bishops or elders and deacons. That's for the church. But here he has seven that are an abomination to him. I'll tell you, here's wisdom. Whenever you come to anything in the Bible that the Lord says he hates, stay away from it. Don't get involved in it. Right? Simple. And it says, first, a proud look, or eyes of loftiness. You know the people that give you the look, I'm better than you, or yeah, I know. That term, yada, 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 you ever heard that before? Any of you were Seinfeld fans? Yada, 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 they had a whole thing on yada. That means, I know. The know-it-alls, they're better than you, they already know everything, you don't need to, right? The first sin act that happened in heaven was, we're told in Isaiah chapter 14, he says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High. And then he told Eve that as she ate of the tree, that God knew that she would be like God. In other words, Satan told them that Adam and Eve would be little gods, little g gods. What is one of the deceitful things that are coming out of the church today, one of the lies? You're a little g god, and it's coming from huge ministries. We're told God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. In Psalm 131:1, David wrote this, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. That's what that's talking about. I don't have a proud, I don't look upon other people with pride like I'm better than they are. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor things too profound or too difficult for me. You know, literally, David, and this is, we all need to come to grips, I know who I am. I know who I am. Because of what the scriptures tell me who I am. He said, and elsewhere it says, but to this man will I look. God said this, even to him that has a poor and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. That's the kind of man that God, I mean, you'd say respects. And it's not that he respects no man, but you understand what I'm saying, that those that walk in fear of him. The second is a lying tongue. Psalm 120, behold, God desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. Revelation tells us that there no liar will enter the New Jerusalem. No liar is going to make it to eternity. Well, everybody lies, or it's just a little white lie. A lie is a lie. There's truth and there's lie. You know, don't play the game. The third is hands that shed innocent blood, the murderer. That will include and it says, thou shalt not murder, and we've talked about this, understanding what the scripture says. Murder, God premeditated, have gone out with the intent to kill. All right, that's murder. God made he made cities of refuge for those who accidentally killed somebody, that they could go there and avoid the avenger, the family avenger, which was also a part of the culture back then, and that they would stand before the priest and be judged, and if the person was judged innocent, they were to stay in the city of refuge until that priest died, and when the priest died, the judgment was, I mean, you know, the avenger of the family had nothing that he could do. He was in the safety of the city of refuge. When that priest died, the person could then leave and was not to be touched. But murderers premeditated, the abortion doctors and nurses, the organizations that are pushing this, our society actually defends murderers. Pleas of temporary insanity. Think about that for a minute. For sin's insanity. To live, to do that is insane. That's not straight thinking. Or what we do is we change the name, you know, or the understanding of a life that's in the womb, and we call it a fetus, and just say so it's not viable, and then we're not killing anything, right? We're not murdering anything. That's what our society has done. And the truth is, it's not insanity; it's sin. And God told the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 30:15, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil." And then I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turns away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass out or pass us over the Jordan or go to possess it. I printed this off in the King James Version, but I'll go to 19. I'll just read it up here. And I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That's wisdom. Choose life. Choose the way of life that God has set before us, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Choose life. Walk in wisdom, the wisdom of his word. Fourth, a heart that devises wicked plans. Anything that's premeditated, really, and that transgresses God's moral law. That'd be theft, it can be murder, it can be character assassination, whatever it is, whatever's premeditated and is planned out. Remember, we're to have discretion. This is This is non-discretionary. This is lack of discretion. Planning wickedness. We're to plan the right way to walk, the good way. 5, feet that are swift in running to evil. And we've been watching it on steroids in our society, our culture today. What are being called peaceful protests. Protests that support wicked. Flash mobs, all these people showing up and robbing stores. They just caught 3 illegal Chilean nationals that were robbing Oakland County homes. They came up here specifically to do that. And there are probably people out there that'll say, oh, it's not right that you arrested them. They're just trying to provide for their family. 6 is a false witness who speaks lies. Perjurers. Just turn on the TV. Or watch what our governments are doing. They're all perjuring themselves. Don't perjure yourself. And then 7, one who sows discord among the brethren. Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? You ever had that? And somebody comes up and they're just waiting for you to drop something, you know, on the person that supposedly said something about you so that they can go back to that person and say, man, you should hear what so-and-so said about you. And they go back and forth. Sowing discord. They just love to watch shipwrecks, right, of relationships. Leave a path of broken relationships and strife. Or they try to convince you that they are right and the other person's wrong. They falsely accuse, hoping that you're going to be on their side or you're going to follow them. Remember, Jesus called them false prophets and ravenous wolves. Paul said that they would be wolves in sheep clothing who will try to get the saints to follow them and their false doctrines and their isms. And God hates that. He hates it. He hates those who lord over his church and he hates those who lie to his church. We should be the same. We should walk with discretion and wisdom, Lord. And Lord, help us to, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not only number our days, but to plan our days right from the beginning, to plan our days and to walk in ways that are pleasing to you, Lord, that are guided by the wisdom of your word as we seek it and as we read your word and as, Lord, it pours over our hearts. Days are wicked that we live in, Lord. And I pray that just for this family, my brothers and sisters, that are the seat of our desire, our hearts, our desire to please you. In what we see, what we look upon, what we listen to, Lord, what we touch and what we go after, Lord, and where we walk. May it be, Lord, you guiding us and well-pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.